If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen. Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dan Z and Corey Club.
All troopers, focus your fire on... on the Jedi.
Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
I'm in space. And I'm about to die.
We need an opening.
Found one.
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to Rebels Reactions. I'm your host, Aaron Harris, and we got a great episode to talk about this week. Just when you think things can't get any better, it just keeps going and getting better. We have a tremendous episode in Through Imperial Eyes, which is the episode this week. And to discuss that with us today, we have making his Rebels Reactions debut, Eric Oakenhope. Did I say that correctly?
Pretty close. Oakenhope.
Oakenhope. Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Close enough, hopefully. should have asked that before we started recording, but hey, you know what?
Hey.
So definitely, I'm glad you're able to join us tonight. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. We're going to have a great time because this was just an all-around great episode. So let's go ahead and get into things here. Of course, this is a tremendous episode all through the eyes of Agent Kallus at this point. This is a primarily an Imperial episode here. We spent a lot of time on Star Destroyers and in the Imperial ranks with Kallus. We see Ezra getting captured on purpose by the Imperials because the Rebellion feels that that Thrawn is closing in on his fulcrum identity and decide to extract him from a potentially dangerous situation, but in such as put him in a new dangerous situation by just showing up. And of course, we have some hijinks set to ensue as they work on escaping. With Thrawn showing up and complicating things, we see some great fights with the droids, the assassin droids, ultimately culminating in them being able to frame Lieutenant List. And, of course, think they've successfully secured Fulcrum's secret status, but they didn't fool anybody. They actually, Thrawn is still on top of his game, thinking that we still have that Kallus is Fulcrum, and definitely leaving us with a cliffhanger that can carry us through the rest of the season here as we wonder what happens to Agent Kallus. So, Eric, let's start our discussion, my friend. What were your initial thoughts when you watched this episode?
I just loved it because I think seeing all the Imperial, Star Destroyers and seeing the Empire, the uniforms, the Stormtroopers, everything, it really kind of brought me back to the original trilogy. That's the first thing I thought of. I really liked the episode. I like how they're bringing Thrawn along. I don't know. I really liked it. Thought it was interesting. When the title of the episode, Through Imperial Eyes, and we saw the preview of, in the beginning of the episode also, like, it is literally through Kallus's eyes, like, first person. And I really thought the whole episode was going to be like that. And I'm like, well, that's really interesting. That'd be really cool and different. And I know they said they couldn't do it like that because I think budget constraints or whatever. But I really wish they did that because maybe it'd be a little bit strange, but I kind of wish they kept with that idea. I think that would have been really cool.
No, I 100% agree with you. That was definitely an excellent opening to the episode as we see hear the klaxon start to sound, and we're seeing everything from a first-person vantage. As the doors open, the stormtrooper tells them that that they're supposed to report at battle stations, and then the water turns on, splashed in his face, and then you look in the mirror, and it's Callus. And things just progress from there back into the normal third-person view on everything. But that first-person view was spectacular. I mean, it was very well done. And I could see how it would probably take them a lot more time to animate from that point of view.
Yeah.
Which definitely would have made for a spectacular episode. And definitely I hope they try to take advantage of that in the future and we see more of that, because that definitely was quite interesting.
Yeah. I think that because they didn't do it, I wonder if they should have changed the title of the episode, because we're not really looking through Imperial Eyes. I don't think so, anyway.
Well, we are, depending on what Obi-Wan say, from a certain point of view. We're seeing things through Imperial's eyes, as kind of as Callus is trying to figure out what to do, and we're seeing things through Thrawn's eyes as he's picking apart and deciding everything that's going on. So we do have that. It's not literally through Imperial eyes like we had in that opening scene, which you're exactly right. Even from the preview, gave us a feeling that that's what we were going to be seeing. But definitely it was very energetic in that opening scene. It was very almost, dare to say, you almost a little trippy. seeing it done like that, which almost, you know, being technically, since Rebels is still technically classic, I mean, it's still a kid show is what it is. I think it might have been a little harder for the kids for children to have watched it like that.
Although
we would have enjoyed it thoroughly, ultimately it still boils down to kids got to be able to watch and understand. And I think it might have confused them a little bit.
That's a good
at that point. Cause I know during the opening scene, while I was watching it with a friend of mine, he had his kids with him. And one of them, we had to clarify some things in the opening scene when it was showing through his eyes. So definitely it's something, it was really cool to watch, but I can understand why they would have opted out of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, Let's take a look. Of course, we got that opening scene. We see Ezra and AP5, and of course Chopper. Turn up into the mix as they're the reason that the alarms are going off. List orders their captures a ship, which they are on. And right there from the beginning, and I don't know about you how you felt about that when that ship got captured and. The stormtroopers bring him on board, and they pull his helmet off, and they reveal his Ezra. Right then and there, I knew this was a setup. I knew, because Ezra would not have let himself get captured that easily.
Right.
I could tell right then and there, and correct me if you felt differently, but I could just tell this was a setup.
Yeah. It's funny, too, when Ezra or whoever, they remove his mask and they show Callus's face, and he didn't really have a lot of facial expression, so I couldn't really tell what he was thinking. Like, did he – like, he obviously recognized Ezra, but I'm thinking to myself, does he – what is he thinking right now? Does he know this is a trap, or does he know it's a setup, or I don't know. It kind of threw me off a little bit. I'm like, well, what's he thinking?
Well, yeah, definitely. What's he thinking? I think he reveals that a little later in the episode when he's there.
Yeah.
He's good at playing off his – Callus is good at playing off his emotion. I mean, he's an Imperial security agent. He's used to having to keep a stone face. And when that helmet gets pulled off and he sees Ezra, his facial expression, his mouth does not change. It's still that same grimaced smile that Callus always has, but you see his eyes get bigger.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of shock there.
Yeah.
Which is why I believe once he gets back to the – gets him in the cell, he's like, leave us. I'll interrogate him myself. And then once that door – he turns off the security camera. He goes in. And then he starts talking to me like, what are you doing? Aren't you going to – don't you know you're going to get us exposed?
Yeah.
And then they – Ezra starts breaking down the plan. Hey, we're here to get you out of here. We think the Imperials tapped your last transmission. You're in danger. We need to get you out of here.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to backtrack a little bit about his facial expressions. Even when it was going from first person to third person and he looks in the mirror in his cell and he has this look of like, what am I doing? You know, kind of – he looked kind of emotional, kind of – not sad, but he looked stressed, like, you know, what am I doing? What's going on? And, I just thought that was – I thought that combined with the very limited facial expression that he had when he saw Ezra and how he's able to contain himself when he needs to, I thought that was – I think that is it's owed to his character, I guess. His development is pretty cool.
No, and you're exactly right. And we've seen a lot of development from Kallus. Since last season. I mean, when last season there was an episode called The Honorable Ones in which Kallus and Zeb were trapped on one of the moons of Geonosis. And that's really where we begin to see Kallus change because he realized through their struggle to survive together, you see Zeb and Kallus realize that they're not that different. They're both warriors. They both have guidelines. They both have respect. They both have families. I mean, you see a mutual respect build. And Kallus, of course, when at the end of that episode, the Ghost crew rise first and rescue Zeb. Kallus stays behind, waiting for an Imperial pickup. And eventually, you see him on his ship, and he's walking down the hallway, and one of the officers passes him, and he's like, "Oh, Kallus, you're back." It was very cold, very nonchalant. Whereas when the Ghost crew arrived to rescue Zeb, they were giving him hugs. They're like, "Oh my God, you're safe! We're so happy." Yeah. They were excited to see him. I mean, it was a completely different reaction. And that episode ends with Kallus sitting on his bed, just sitting there. You know, you could see the war in his mind starting at that point, because he took a rock that him and Zeb had used for warmth and light with him back to the Star Destroyer, and you see that internal conflict begin in Kallus, and I called it then. I knew he was going to turn
absolutely
join the rebellion. And definitely when we found out he was Fulcrum, I was screaming from the rooftops, "I told you so!" But he has developed so much since then. It's been quite a growth pattern for him. For somebody during the first season, we thought was just going to be the proverbial thorn in our hero's flesh. I never, if you'd have told me first season he was going to flip to the rebellion, I would have laughed at you, honestly, because he was very ornate, very strong, and very much in their face everywhere they went.
So persistent.
Very persistent.
Like Harris said.
Yeah, very persistent. And definitely it was quite enjoyable to see him develop. And honestly, I mean, we got a lot of great characters on this show, and we've seen a lot of growth and a lot of development for our characters. But honestly, I think I've enjoyed watching his growth and his character being fleshed out. I've actually enjoyed that more than I have most other characters here. And
he's not even on every episode either.
Exactly. And that's what's made it. That's what's amazing for me to say that too, because you're exactly right. He's not in every episode.
No.
And that's what makes it even more difficult to flesh out a character when you're not seeing him all the time. They have done probably one of the best jobs of fleshing somebody out with Kallus.
So, and speaking of that episode, he sees, I mean, I don't want to keep talking about like an old episode, but he sees how Ezra is greeted by his friends. And that gets him thinking about later on, he's on the Star Destroyer and he gets a very cold reception. And he's the type of guy that he's doing what he's doing because that's his job. And he thinks the Empire is keeping order, which I think is the new canon, whatever you want to call it. I think they have a few characters like Ray Sloan that are doing what they're doing because they think it's the right thing until, you know, the truth is put in front of them. And then they see how evil the Empire really is. And then they're like, oh, I didn't know or whatever. So they start switching sides.
Absolutely. Well, the Empire has, you know, probably the best propaganda machine out there.
Yeah. I mean,
when you have control of everything,
yeah,
you want to make sure only one side of the story gets out.
Absolutely.
And you're going to present it in such a way that it's convincing to everybody that, hey, you know what? This is screwed up. Those people are – that rebellion is really just trying to mess things up for us here. So we need to protect what we have and fight for the Empire. And we're only safe with the Empire and all these things. And honestly, probably the Imperial propaganda machine plays down the rebellion for the most part when it comes to how things are viewed. Because they don't want it getting out there that, you know, there's this – galaxy-wide rebellion that started up against the Empire. Definitely, he's definitely somebody who bought into that propaganda machine there when he probably first joined and just kind of went with the flow, advanced his career until he finally became face-to-face with the truth, which was on that moon with Zeb.
Like, we'll learn later on how he was a student of Yularen, too.
Yeah, that was a great... Great.
Kind of skipping ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, these discussions will skip around all over the place. There's no particular order in the episode that we go when we're hitting the high points here. But you're absolutely right. We had, if you are a fan of the Clone Wars, we had Admiral Yularen. If you remember Admiral Yularen, he commanded the Republic starships for Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi, a fabulous military leader. He returns. Apparently, he's a member of the Imperial Intelligence Bureau as well.
ISB.
And he actually has been demoted. He's not an admiral anymore. He's a colonel. But apparently, he is apparently training all the new ISB agents and actually was responsible for Kallus' training. And it was fun to see him return. And, of course, they had Tom Kane return and do his voice again, which is always awesome to have Tom Kane back.
Yeah. Yeah. It said during Recon that when the Republic became the Empire, Yularen saw the change and he decided to take a less active rank or whatever, and they said he went back to his original roots of being an intelligence officer or something like that.
Absolutely. And a great job he's apparently done, too, if he's training people like the likes of Kallus.
Yeah.
I never knew he was a teacher prior to that. Only thing we ever see him is as an admiral in that fleet, which during the Clone Wars. So having him back in is fun, even though he's kind of working for the wrong side here.
Yeah.
You know, technically, you say he's still working for Anakin one way or another.
Yeah.
From a certain point of view.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see him back, but he's here, of course, not for, you know, just visits or to take Kallus out to lunch or anything like that. He was actually invited, we find out, by Thrawn as part of the investigation to determine who is the mole, per se, who is their leak. And since Yularen is an outside party, he comes in with a fresh perspective and is bound and determined to figure out who the leak is. And of course, he's going to interview everybody on the list. He's going to interview Kallus, Governor Price, everybody that's there. is a suspect at this point. And so he's going to do his investigation. But we also get another key glimpse into the plot of this episode during that meeting with Thrawn, Kallus, Price, Yularen, List. I believe that was Admiral... what was his name? Constantine was in there as well. Yeah, Admiral Constantine was in there as well. We get a glimpse of another plot key here as Thrawn announces that he's very close to determining the location of the Rebels' hidden base.
Oh, yeah. He
pulls up that nice holographic map with hundreds of planets on it, and only a dozen or so are highlighted pink. Which he goes, one of these planets is where our Rebels are hiding. So that brings a new twist into the plot, because not only does Kallus now have to get Ezra off the ship before Thrawn comes and sees him and realizes who he is, he also has to warn the Rebellion that, hey, you're almost found out. You need to move. But we see him come up with another idea. He decides he wants to, you know, basically just wipe that planet off the map and put it another planet and a different location in its place. Very much an Attack of the Clone-ish with the removal of Kamino.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
A nice little nod there, don't you think?
Yeah.
As they go through that. So a lot of interesting fun there. As that plan gets hatched, and of course, Ezra. Ezra and Kallus, of course, then debate because Kallus wants to know where the base is so he can put his plan in place. And Ezra's like, oh, I'm not telling you where it is. You'll just turn around and tell the Empire. You'll find out when we get there. But then that debate just continues back and forth till finally AP5 is like, you know, we can solve all these problems with one stop into the Grand Admiral's quarters.
Yeah. Yeah. To backtrack again on Yularen, at the end of the episode, when he, when Thrawn discovers, he's pretty certain that Kallus is Fulcrum, and Yularen's like, oh, surprised one of my students could portray us like that. And I'm thinking that's really ironic for Yularen to say something like that, considering he was fighting for the Republic and now he's with the Empire. And I'm like, I don't know. That just kind of like made me think when he said that. I'm like, and it's weird to think Yularen's on the wrong side of the war, because he's such a good guy in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And now he's fighting for the bad guys. And it's weird to think that him and Rex are on the opposite sides of the war now.
Oh, I know. And, I mean, Yularen's in a unique position. I mean, I don't necessarily think he was in a position where he had to choose between the Rebellion and the Empire. No, I think he saw the Rebellion develop, not the Rebellion, but the Republic. There toward the end of the Clone Wars, when Order 66 was given, we see the progression of the Republic as it converts. I mean, in that Senate session, he says, we will turn the Republic into the first galactic empire. So in his, I mean, playing devil's advocate for Yularen here, I mean, in his eyes, he's still serving the Republic, just under a new name. It's not the Republic he grew up with or he knew or he was fighting with the Jedi with, but it's still it's what the Republic has become. And of course he bought, again, buying into that propaganda machine that was being spun by Palp at that time, Palpatine. It was, you know, we're creating this empire for a safe and brighter secure tomorrow, safe and secure. Yeah. And of course, you know, we see Padme, and of course,
Bail Organa.
Bail Organa sit there, like, well, here goes democracy. It died with thunderous applause. But, you know, a lot of people really bought into that. You know, the only way we're going to be safe from, you know, of course, from the Separatists, safe from the Jedi, who were just sold out as bad guys trying to overthrow the Republic, is to maybe organize, reorganize under this empire. So maybe, you know, I mean, playing devil's advocate for you, Laren, this could be just, you know, another day in the, how did Rex put it? Another day in the glorious service of the Republic.
Yeah. It's just, I wonder if Laren really, like he fought alongside with Anakin and Obi-Wan. I wonder if he really felt that the Jedi were betraying the Republic, because he knew them personally, and I wonder if he really thought that they would do something like that.
Well, you know, that's a really good question. I mean, it's one of those situations where, I mean, you know, it depends on what his interactions were with the Jedi at that time. Because toward the end, I mean, he was very much involved with Anakin and Obi-Wan there in the first several seasons. But then we see him kind of start to take a different role. He's not in as many episodes, and we see more of Tarkin stepping forward, coming up as Captain Tarkin and an admiral and so on and so forth. And Yularen's there, but he's almost playing second fiddle in the scenes that he's in to Tarkin. As we see that character begin to flesh out and grow. So I think, you know, he may not have been as close toward the end of the war to the Jedi as he thought.
That's true.
But knowing what the definition of the Jedi was before the war and seeing what they were doing during the war, you know, it's not a far leap to believe that he would have actually thought they could have tried to overthrow the Empire or the Republic. He's seen the type of violence they're capable of, unfortunately, firsthand. And definitely, you know, as they always say, war changes people. Why not the Jedi?
Yeah, I suppose. It's funny when you say that Yularen plays second fiddle to Tarkin. Immediately, I thought of Krennic in Rogue One.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So. I mean, Tarkin has always been a good character to sit back, let everybody else do the work, and then kind of step forward and take over.
Take credit.
You know, you see him do that in Rogue One. Of course, I would almost say he did that during the Clone Wars too. He rode on the coattails of everybody, but eventually stepped up above and beyond. Even a great admiral like Yularen was back in that time. I mean, so
a lot, very opportunistic.
Oh, very much, very much.
Yeah,
a lot of fun seeing him return. So that was definitely a great highlight to the episode there.
Yeah,
but here's what we're gonna do real quick, because definitely we want to go ahead and take a few moments here to toss things to Dan and Corey real quick so they can tell us about the Topps Star Wars digital trading card app. So take a listen and hear about it. Dan, Corey, it's off to you.
If you are a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars Card Trader app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, and The Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun, too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun, too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either, as you sign up for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Welcome back. Thank you so much, Dan and Corey, for telling us about that TOPS trading app. A lot of fun, a lot of great stuff in that app. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, download it. Give it a shot. If you decide you want to, that you like it and enjoy it, look me up. I'm on there. I play it every day, get my free credits, buy a few packs, you know. Always collecting Rebels cards. So if you get any and you want to trade, look me up. My username or screen name, as you would say on that app, is Big Dog Stewie. And look me up. It'd be fun. Chances are if you throw a chopper in the mix, you'll probably get your trade no matter what. So everybody knows how I feel about that little astromech. So let's go back into our episode through Imperial Lines. It's been a great discussion so far. A few other topics we want to talk about. I mean, because this episode wouldn't be complete without a discussion of Thrawn and his plans at this point, because everything that's happening, I think, is ultimately coming into his ultimate plan to end the rebellion. And I think everything that happens in this episode is happening because of Thrawn, not necessarily because of plans that the Rebellion hatched to get Kallus out, but I think we begin to see the ball rolling, and the whole thing is happening because Thrawn wants to determine who his mole is, because he knows he's got a mole inside his command staff, inside the Empire, and he wants to know who it is. So we see definitely him play this out, and we see that, of course, when Kallus first shows up on the ship with Ezra, and of course with List, and we see what is referred to as the Sector Command Staff marching away from the Thrawn quarters. Now, of course, I can only assume that these people were being questioned by Thrawn because of their relationship or their past encounters with the Lothal Rebels, as our crew's been called. And they're all from previous episodes, too. We have the one commander who's in charge of the cruiser there on Geonosis from the episode with Saw Gerrera at the beginning of this season. We have the commander of the Indicator Destroyer from last season. He's there. As well as we see a garrison commander from Los Thal amongst that group of officers. It was fun seeing some old faces again. Don't you think, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, like I told you, when they walked by him in the hallway, they mentioned Sector Command Staff. What are they doing here? And I was just like, I have no idea. Who are these people? I did recognize one of them from a couple episodes ago, but I just kind of thought that was like kind of random. And I didn't remember them from previous episodes except for the one. So I didn't know what that meant. That kind of went over my head until you mentioned that they were all kind of had run-ins with the rebels from Lothal. I'm like, oh yeah. I jotted that down when I was watching the episode. I'm like, that's kind of out of the blue, but it's got to mean something.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, even having Lieutenant List in this episode as well is a nod to previous episodes as well. Because Lieutenant List, if you recall, was in the episode Princess on Lothal. He was in charge of protecting the three Hammerhead Corvettes that Leia Organa brought to Lothal with supplies for the relief supplies for the people of Lothal, which ultimately was a trick for the Rebellion to steal the ships. And ultimately it was ultimately pinned on the list at that point with those ships being lost. So we're seeing everybody that's had anything to do with combating the Ghost crew showing up on the ship at that point with those that's quote-unquote Sector Command crew. Then, of course, List and now Kallus going into the mix, and Price and Constantine. Everybody's had their hand in the pot at some point, are all being pulled back in to help Thrawn figure out what his next move is going to be.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if there's somebody there they haven't talked to yet.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure there's somebody that we're not thinking of right now that we've seen that will rear their head shortly in one of the upcoming episodes, and we'll see what happens there. But Thrawn definitely has got his game intact. I mean, and we see a new side of Thrawn in this episode. We've always known that he was and we've seen it through the episodes. And if you're a fan of the Legends line, what used to be the Expanded Universe, you know what kind of commander that Thrawn is. He's a very brilliant tactical mastermind. But we get to see a different side of Thrawn in this episode as we see him also as a physical threat as well. The first time we see Thrawn in this episode, he is engaged in hand-to-hand combat with two different assassin droids at the same time. And he's really, holding his own against them. And then, of course, later in the episode, we see where Kallus reprograms them to try to take Thrawn out. And he is able to single-handedly defeat them as well, and blow them literally to smithereens with some blasters. So we see him as a very much a hand-to-hand combatant as well, quite a threat, which definitely I enjoyed seeing. What did you think of seeing this physical fighting aspect of Admiral Thrawn?
Yeah, it made complete and total sense to make Thrawn not only a cerebral threat, but also a physical one, because I don't think he was portrayed that way in the books in the Thrawn trilogy at all. I don't remember him being like that anyway, but and for somebody like Thrawn, who's obviously far and away more of a threat than any other Imperial they've encountered, other than maybe Tarkin, it totally makes sense to make him like a physical threat also. That, and I'm not surprised, because he's obviously well-rounded. He knows he is, and he doesn't want to be just, giving orders and, hey, go do that, or whatever. He can be in the middle of the action if it's absolutely necessary, and he can take out whoever he needs to physically. So I thought that was really cool.
As did I. I enjoyed seeing this new aspect of Thrawn. Yeah. Because it's not something that you're right. It's not something we saw in the books, which is what made this unique. And they've done a great job keeping him true to the books when it comes to his ingenuity when it comes to tactics and war. He has remained very true to the original books. But it's now fun to see where he's going and how they're developing him even further as this physical combatant threat. And he's able to fight his way out of this hole. Now, one thing I did notice, and I don't know if you noticed, and I've always have the episode running while I'm doing these recordings. So, because there's always something that during the conversation I will pick up on that I didn't notice the first several times I watched it before we start recording. But did you notice on the, of course, Stormtrooper guarding outside of Thrawn's office, and even on the uniform that the Imperial uniform that Kallus secures for Ezra, There's a specific logo on the Imperial, Stormtrooper's pauldron, in the middle of that black pauldron, and of course on Ezra's shoulder as well, and we see it on another pauldron later in the episode, on the orange one, when Kanan and Rex's shuttle land, which of course Kanan, we'll get to their participation in the episode shortly, but we're seeing this emblem around. Quite a bit. It almost looks like it's a specific ID to the almost to Thrawn's troops. Did you take a notice to that?
I haven't seen it. Is it? I want to guess what it is.
Yeah, that's just it. I have not been able to really tell what it is because it's something it's a very unique design, almost like a half crest with tentacles. It's really, really, really weird. It's really cool. And it's black and white. A black and white crest that's on the uniforms for Ezra. It's on Ezra's uniform. Almost try to back this up a little bit so I could get a better look at it. It almost literally appears like some kind of plant at some point, or a tree or something. It's really unique.
Yeah, I don't have no idea. I didn't see it.
Yeah, definitely go back and take a look at it when you get a chance. Yeah. And if anybody out there is watching and you've gotten a better look at it and you can tell what it is, definitely don't hesitate to let us know, because definitely I'm quite curious to what that is representing at this point.
I thought you were going to tell me it was the Chimera logo.
You know, it very well could be. It very well could be. It could be the logo for Chimera, because all these troops that we're seeing are on the Thrawn command ship, the Chimera.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a nod back to the original books that introduced Thrawn by Timothy Zahn, the Heir to the Empire, Dark Forces Rising, and Last Command books. So the Chimera, of course, was his command star destroyer there, and it's his command destroyer in Rebels as well. And there was another unique nod to those books as well. They've done I can't complain. They've done a great job definitely keeping him in line with what Timothy Zahn envisioned originally. I can't wait to see what his book in April is going to look like. But we see in that hand-to-hand combat fighting he's doing and is sparring with the droids when he's practicing before they get reprogrammed to kill him. Thrawn yells out his safety word to shut him down so he can have his meeting with Kallus and List. And his command, his safe word is Ruch.
Yeah.
And of course, if you have read those books, you know that Ruch is his Nagori assassin, his top Nagori assassin, honestly. And who actually is responsible for ultimately ending Thrawn's life there at the end of the books in the series at that point. Spoiler alert. If you haven't read it by now,
yeah.
Because those books have been out for what, 20 plus years?
Yeah.
25 years? Something like that. So if you haven't read it by now, you have no clue what you're missing. Spoiler alert, but yeah, it's been nice to see those nods to the original books in and of itself.
It goes to show you when they have like a good character from Legends that, you know, they can use them in the new canon and not change that much and actually add a little bit to it.
Exactly. So. And they've done that perfectly with the characters we've seen from Legends. Mainly, of course, the Thrawn is the biggest one we've seen. So we did mention them a few moments ago. We do have two other of our characters in this episode. We have Kanan and, of course, Rex, who are coming to the rescue as part of this plan. They are coming through in an Imperial shuttle dressed in their Stormtrooper armor again to rescue Kallus and Ezra at this point. And, of course, then they got to alter plans when they find out they're on Thrawn's ship, and definitely complicates things for them. But again, we see Kanan put in a situation where he's the comic relief.
Yeah.
We had that in the last episode with him and Ezra going kind of offsetting the seriousness of Sabine's interactions with her family. But this time we have Kanan and Rex doing it. When they come out of hyperspace and Ezra and Rex is like, wow, it's a lot of ships. And Kanan's like, a lot of ships? How many ships? What are we looking at?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I didn't get that because there wasn't really a lot of ships. There was 3 Star Destroyers, I think.
That's all we saw. But I'm pretty positive Thrawn would have more ships than just 3. But we only see those 3. Those are the 3 most prominent ships that we see as they go through.
Yeah.
And we see that going on there, that little bit comically. If we, there's Rex commenting on how the how he thought he lost weight as he's adjusting the armor there, which I feel your pain, Rex. I thought I lost weight, but apparently I haven't. But Rex and I get along just great in that weight loss department. But so, yeah, definitely we're seeing a change of pace when it comes to Kanan's character in this episode and even in the last episode. But let's look at who's not here as well. And the last 2 episodes, we have not seen Hera.
Yeah.
We have not seen Zeb.
I know.
Which, you know, in the past when they have done character-driven episodes, and this was something we talked about on the last episode, is when they've done these character-driven episodes, they still have incorporated every member of the crew, whether it's in a transmission or whether it's in at the beginning of the episode where, hey, y'all be safe, as they wave them as they go flying away. They've always been there. This is the second episode in a row. We have not heard, seen, or have, well, heard or seen from Hera or Zeb.
It makes you wonder. I don't know. It makes me think that they are kind of like giving us a clue. I'm trying to get it out. I'm trying to form my thoughts. I think the people that make Rebels are telling us that this group will not always be together. They're off doing other missions or with other groups and doing their own thing and on other assignments. I don't know. And I think they're subtly telling us that.
Yeah. Well, and that's a very good possibility. I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen them split up for different missions. But it's the first time we've gone without seeing them. And definitely it raises the question, what are they doing at this point?
It leaves the opportunity open for other, maybe it'll be like a comic series. This is what Zeb's doing at this time while, you know, Ezra's hanging out with Kallus.
Well, I mean, but also we've seen the last few episodes we saw before they started disappeared. We know that they're taking on more responsibility as well.
Exactly.
Of course, we find out that in the episode, a few episodes ago, in the episode where we have that spy droid that is on the base that both Zeb is dealing with.
Yeah.
We have that going on. We find out that Zeb is the chief of security for the base.
Yeah.
So definitely there's responsibility there. And we all know Hera is getting more and more responsibility as time goes on. Because we've all seen Rogue One, and we all know that they announce that she's an admiral by that point. So we're getting close to that story time frame and that storyline where she would have that promotion in line. So
So
obviously they've taken on more responsibility, and those responsibilities could have them, you know, stuck at the base or stuck in meetings, which is why we have Kanan and Rex and Ezra doing these missions now.
Yeah. And as far as Kanan being comedy relief, I think back to the A New Dawn novel where he was kind of like still, I don't know what he was doing, drinking a lot and doing missions on his own. He's always been kind of like, he was kind of rogue, to be honest with you. And I just think that's his personality, is he's kind of a kind of a, you know, he's the cowboy, I guess.
Very much.
So I think he relies on the humor sometimes to kind of get through the tense situations.
Obviously, I think so. And it definitely is, because if you haven't read New Dawn, go back and read it, because if you love Rebels, you'll love this. It gives a great background on Kanan and Hera there. So definitely check that out. Read it if you haven't. It's a phenomenal book. I can't recommend it enough. But it's that Kanan has always had some sort of humor in him. Whether he's being serious or not. I mean, look at his training of Ezra. It brings me back to him, them being on the Ghost, in the Ghost, but literally on the Ghost while it's up in the air. And Kanan's training Ezra. He's trying to do something, and Ezra's yelling out, "I can't do it." And Kanan yells out, "Do or do not. There is no try." And Ezra's like, "What does that mean?
I have no idea."
He goes, "I don't know. Master Yoda said it a lot. I never understood either." So, yeah. You know, it's he's got some comedy in him elsewhere, but we're seeing it more exploited to lighten the mood of episodes at this point than we were in those earlier episodes. So definitely a lot of fun in the episode. And we would be dismiss, of course, if we didn't mention the fact that at the end of the episode, once everything gets cleared out and everything calms back down, Kallus is able to frame Agent or Lieutenant List into making everybody think he is the rebel spy. And so he opts, instead of leaving with the rebels as they make their escape, he opts to stay in what he thinks is doing more good for the rebels by staying in the Empire. But it's not all what is thought to have been, because as we see, as the episode ends, we see Yularen and Thrawn talking about what had just happened, and they both agree that List doesn't have the wits about him to pull off what he's being accused of, whereas Kallus does. And even Yularen, as you mentioned earlier, is shocked that one of his students can make that change to basically betray everything that he was taught. And Thrawn is like, you know, and this is where you see Thrawn's cold calculating come into play, because yes, he knows Kallus is his double agent, or believes it with most of the bones in his body, but he lets him stay at his post, because he even says, "I think Agent Fulcrum will be proved to be more valuable than Agent Kallus ever did or ever was." Excuse me. So he plans on at that point exploiting Kallus without Kallus even really knowing. I don't think Kallus will realize he's being used by Thrawn. What do you think?
You know, I'm thinking as you're talking about exactly that, how he's got to know. He knows Thrawn, and he knows Thrawn is good at what he does. He's got to understand that Thrawn's going to catch on sooner or later. And if I was Kallus, I would get the heck out of there.
Well, you know, but again, we see Kallus believes he's got it all taken care of by framing List. Yularen and Thrawn both, they don't let on a second that they believe it's any different.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's got that sense of security now that he is safe. Kallus is safe. And he, you know, honestly, I can see him being not suspecting that they know he's the bad guy, because he just successfully framed List.
Yeah, it's funny too. Like when my cat's like he's gonna like push the door down. But when Kallus reveals sort of, that List is the traitor. I've seen it before in other movies. It's the guy that says, hey, he did it, you know, but it's so, it happens all the time where the guy who accuses somebody else is actually the one who's doing it. And he's just trying to deflect the blame, you know, and Thrawn's way too smart to fall for that. So I don't know why he would think that would work. I mean, he was pretty smooth with switching the cylinders without Liz knowing. But, I mean, Kallus is good, and he's smart, and he's able, but he's no Thrawn.
No.
If he thinks he's going to outsmart Thrawn, he's got another thing coming.
Oh, no, absolutely, and I agree with you 100% there. Thrawn, I have no doubt, knows and believes wholeheartedly that Kallus is his traitor, because we see at the end of this episode, the helmet gets brought to him to be looked at and reviewed and everything. There's the helmet that was removed off Ezra, and he identifies the drawing on the top as a Loth cat, and then of course goes into the artistic work of it and identifies the artist that painted it as Sabine Wren, the rebel, which means the helmet most likely belonged to the young Jedi Padawan Ezra Bridger. And that's how they determined that Kallus is the bad guy.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of ingenious stuff happening there. And that artwork definitely plays into the mix of what's going on. So definitely it was a lot of fun episode in this. Definitely it was a lot of enjoyable things happening, a lot of nods, a lot of fun. One nod in particular we didn't even mention is the Indiana Jones nod. There was a little nod to Indiana Jones in this episode. We see in the one of the collectible things in Thrawn's office, one of the artifacts he's collected is actually the Holy Grail from The Last Crusade. Definitely you can pull up pictures of that if they have it at StarWars.com.
Yeah.
You can view pictures there in the episode guide of it. But definitely it's really cool to see that. There's a Clone Commander's helmet in the background too. And
Commander Green.
It's painted like Commander Grease. Even a recon, they're like, you know, it's painted like Commander Grease, but we're not saying it's Commander Grease. But there's never been anybody else that's really had their helmet painted like that. So you make your assumptions from there. So we got that helmet in there. And of course, the Calicori from Hera's home world. So he's got a lot of interesting artifacts throughout the office there. But we have gotten a few emails about this episode as well. And I want to take a moment to read those, because definitely got some interesting comments in here. First email we received was from Andre Hutchins, who said, "Wow, what an episode. Through Imperial Eyes was the most edge of your seat episode to date. Literally clutching my fist through the whole episode. I've never felt so much peril for a single character than I did for Agent Kallus. Once again, quick wits, ingenuity, and huge amounts of luck get our rebels out of trouble. Agent Kallus displayed incredible poise under pressure and got himself out of the frying pan, but into the fire. Unfortunately, I think he's running out of last chances."
Yeah,
I would have to just absolutely agree with that. Yeah. He is running out of chances.
Totally.
We definitely see that by the end of the episode. Andre continues, "Just two tidbits that I did not like about this episode. The first is I felt that Kallus and Ezra's plan to remove their home planet from Grand Admiral Thrawn's map and replace it with a non-existing planet was very unintelligent and a novice move. Maybe they were just rushed and panicked, but Thrawn is too smart not to notice, and they basically narrowed down Thrawn's search for him."
Hmm.
Very good observation. That was something I hadn't thought about till I read the email. But you're right. Thrawn is a very intelligent man. I mean, yes, you've replaced a planet, but how long is it going to take him to notice that that planet doesn't exist?
Well,
because I'm sure he's got multiple copies of that particular map.
Can I bring up a point?
Go right ahead. Please.
When Ezra and Kallus are in Joppa or in Thrawn's office or whatever, and Thrawn comes to the door and everybody scrambles, and he thinks List is in there, mm-hmm. Thrawn does. So instead of going in his office and looking around for List, he starts studying that map. So I wonder if he noticed the difference. And I'm thinking, why, if he knows somebody's in his office sneaking around, why is he not looking for them? Why is he studying the map? I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. I wonder if he noticed the change that they made right there.
You know, here's my belief on that. I believe he actually did. He's one of these people that studies things to a fault. If he can look at one piece of art and identify the artist, I'm sure he has studied that map enough that he knows where every planet is. So I would not be surprised if by making this change, they actually exposed the location of the base, of Chopper Base. So yeah, definitely, I would agree it was probably not the best move for them to do.
Yeah.
Then we got Andre continues with this second distaste here. He is a number two. Sabine, stop drawing your art on everything. You're basically painting targets on all the rebels' clothes, ships, and disguises. Ezra's helmet in this episode was a gift to Thrawn that completely implicated Ezra and ultimately Kallus too. I understand Sabine expresses herself with art, but she's expressing herself so much that it's giving everybody away.
Yeah. I'm not buying that. How is she supposed to know Thrawn is going to, like, track her down with art?
That's very true. Very true. I could see that being argued both ways at that point. Because definitely somebody like Thrawn is going to notice things like this. But, you know, at the same point, she may not, when she painted all this stuff, she may not have even known that Thrawn was even in that deep analysis of her art. So we don't know. But I can see it argued both ways there. Definitely good points. Andre wraps things up by saying, otherwise, it's a fantastic episode. I love the suspense and anticipation of not knowing how our rebels are going to fare. And he actually went ahead and graded the episode for us, and he gives it an A-. So thanks for that email, Andre. Thank you so much. Great insights. Definitely, I enjoyed that. Got another email here from Alex Dunn. Alex wrote in and basically just saying another exciting episode and build up episode toward what's to come. I love the episodes with Thrawn, and this one just proves his cunningness at always being one step ahead of the game. Unlike the old Star Wars EU parentheses legends, it's interesting how the show also portrays him as being physically skillful. Also love the EU references to Rukh as the override code for his assassin droids. Unlike the EU, he doesn't get assassinated by Rukh this time. Touche. <Yeah. laughs> I thought it was a clever reference. I can't wait to see how this season leads up to the finale.
Yeah.
Whoops. Just dropped my email. My phone. There we go. But yeah, great comments, Alex, and definitely as obviously, if you tell from the discussion, we do agree with you when it comes to Thrawn and his physical fitness and able to handle himself in a fight. He did a phenomenal job in that and definitely made it quite an enjoyable episode
overall. Yeah, I really liked it. It was good.
Definitely, it was a great episode. So let's go ahead and start wrapping things up here. Of course, Eric, what are your final thoughts on Through Imperial Eyes?
Well, all right, this is what it makes me think of. Like, we're talking about how Thrawn is going to discover the rebel base, I have no doubt. So we have that to look forward to at the end of the season, and we have the possible confrontation between Maul and Kenobi. So those are two huge events that could possibly happen at the end of this season. Just so much good going on right now. Two things I wanted to bring up real quick. The music whenever Thrawn is in, I know it's been mentioned before, but I just can't get over it. I love that. When he reveals that he knows something or he's probably right, can't talk.
You're fine.
And, you know, that Philip Glass kind of music comes in. Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember there was a scene where they focus in on Ezra's mask that was laying on the floor. And it was a couple of notes. And it sounded like Harry Potter for some reason. I don't know why. But I thought that was really cool. I think showing the mask on the floor, oh, I just thought of this. Showing the mask on the floor and as they're showing that, they're playing Thrawn's music. It was like a hint that, hey, Thrawn's going to look at this mask and he's going to figure everything out, which is what happened. And the voice acting of Kallus, David Oyelowo.
Yep.
Brilliant. You know, he just does such a good job. You know, he's such a good actor anyway, but I just wanted to bring those two things up.
Oh, no, absolutely. I definitely agree with you in both of those points because I've never made it a secret. Kevin Kiner does some of the finest work on TV today when it comes to composing and scoring these episodes. He's brilliant. He's one of the best, if not the best, on TV at this point. And I definitely my hat's off to him every episode because I always say I don't think he can top himself, and he always winds up doing it. and to me, his ultimate creation is that big dramatic Thrawn theme. It's just so fitting to the character.
Yeah, totally.
And it's a lot of fun. Overall, this episode was phenomenal. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. It was a great follow-up to our Sabine arc that we just had, those two episodes. So it definitely kept that level of energy going. It was a lot of fun. So definitely, I enjoyed it thoroughly. Loved all the nods to the books. Loved the nod to Indiana Jones. And just a lot of fun. Do have to say I miss seeing Hera and I do miss seeing Zeb. They're going to show back up and I'm not going to know what to do with myself. but at least we had Chopper. Chopper's always in there. That's one thing I'm always grateful for. It's my little Chop Chop. So we got him involved in the episode. So, and of course, teaming up with AP5. AP5 is always great to see. Again, he's definitely become more of Chopper's. He's become more of Chopper's 3PO.
Exactly.
So definitely it's been fun seeing those two paired together. Grading the episode, as we always do, I'd have to go and give this episode definitely an A minus, I would have to say. I'd have to agree with Andre there. An A minus. It was a great episode. And definitely was firing on all cylinders. It was a great continuation to the follow up to the Sabine episodes. How about you, Eric? How would you grade this episode?
For me, the season finale of season two is an A for me. Mm-hmm. And this one, I would have to say, is an A minus as well. It's a very, very, very good episode. It was really good.
Oh, absolutely. I do agree with you there. So definitely it's phenomenal. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can hit us up on Twitter and let us know, or email the show. Definitely let us know. Great episode. And definitely, Eric, I'm so glad you're able to join me tonight to review Through Imperial Eyes. If somebody wanted to discuss Through Imperial Eyes or even other Star Wars with you, what would be the best way for our listeners to do that?
You can find me on Twitter @EricOkenhout. It's O-N-K-E-N-H-O-U-T. or I'm on Facebook under the same name. And you know, I blog for Coffee with Kenobi, and I just started writing for Big Shiny Robot. So, yeah, look there. You'll find me. I'm always around.
Perfect. And we'll have to have links to your Twitter and everything there in our show notes as well. Of course, definitely if you want to talk to me about the episode, of course, I'm on Twitter at TAHarris121079, or of course, through the Rebels Reactions email or Twitter, excuse me, at Rebels Reactions. Of course, email me, of course, at aharris at coffeewithkenobi.com. And of course, the show emails, rebelsreactions at coffeewithkenobi.com. Remember, we still have our contest going on. We're doing our giveaway, Rebel Prize Pack giveaway. You have till the second to the last episode, which airs on March 18th. So the cutoff date is noon Eastern time on March 20th to get your submissions in. Just after each episode, send us your thoughts and opinions on each episode, and you are automatically entered into the drawing. Andre, Alex, both got entered this week into that drawing. We may even read your email on the show, but definitely entered in. We got some great things going right now that we're giving away. We got the Ahsoka pop that was exclusive to Hot Topic. We have action figures. We got the 3¾-inch Kanan as a stormtrooper and Sabina figures that were recently released. I got some new stuff coming in that is going to get added to the drawing. I guess I found more stuff we're adding in. So look for an announcement on that coming out soon. But we do also have, of course, the Saw Gerrera Toys R Us poster that's part of the giveaway as well. So definitely it's a great prize pack. Get your entries in while you can. And definitely it's something that can't wait to send it home with somebody. It's just my way of saying thank you to everybody for listening. So thank you so much, Sherritt, for joining me tonight. It's been a blast. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Check out coffeewithkenobi.com. Check out our other shows, Lattes with Leia, Comics with Kenobi, Legends Library, which I recently was a guest on. And of course, our flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi. Check that out. And definitely it's a lot of fun there. And thank you everybody so much for listening. Y'all are the best. Remember, this is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here.
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre One. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.